Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, happy Saturday, BE community. How are y'all doing?
Happy Saturday.
Yes. Well, as you have to see, we have a very special guest in the building. But before we get into that, how are you ladies doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah. Hanging. God has been faithful. So we just taking it one day, one step at a time, and trusting him along the way. So, yeah. Good stuff. How's Moreland, as I love to call it?
Moreland. It's always something new. A new challenge every week, but we are maintaining. I have been mentally and physically tired, exhausted, but God has been sustaining me.
Amen. Amen for God's faithfulness. So, well, y'all, like I mentioned, we have a very special guest in the building. And so without further ado, we're going to read her bio so you can learn a little more about her. And then we're going to talk about what had happened with us. So,
yes. So I have the pleasure of introducing Latia Ashley. She is a dynamic entrepreneur, entertainment industry insider and groundbreaking author. With a rich background in entertainment, she has worked in the music industry, radio, international music tours, executive, produced a social justice documentary, and made waves as a host and curator of major cultural events. She was the headline host of Atlanta's first sold-out drive-in concert on June 5th, 2021, where thousands of fans gathered in celebration. Despite all she's accomplished, Latia calls writing her debut book, Update, her most meaningful work to date, peaking at number one in new releases on Amazon in the Christian dating and mate-seeking categories. This book is not for the weak. It's for those ready to ditch the confusion, heal from the past, relationships, and date with purpose. So we are so excited to have Latia Ashley.
Yes. Thank you for having me. That was so awkward. You made that sound so good. I guess.
You have excellent bio writers. If it's not you, they're excellent. So.
You don't really remember some of the things that you do until it's rehearsed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, I forgot I did that.
Yes. I'm excited to dive into this book, but before we do that, we got to talk what had happened with us.
Yes. So
we were talking a little bit offline before the show started about how we came across this amazing person here. And so, of course, y'all know, you know, we are attached to the hip, literally, with Trackstars. And so Latia was actually on the Trackstars show or podcast maybe a few weeks ago, and I really enjoyed her. If you didn't check the episode, check it out. She did an amazing job hanging out with them and just providing content or insight, you know, and commentary. But I was really intrigued when I heard more about her book. And so I think Ryan Wright just mentioned that he had met her at Black Influencers Conference, which you and Toya had the opportunity, or I should say Toya and both of y'all had the opportunity to go to along with Ryan. So would love to learn more about that and just, all the things.
Well, first of all, thank you guys both for having me here. I'm so excited to be here. And I want to get into what happened was, you know, I'm excited to be here. So
yeah. Good stuff. Toya, you have anything you want to add?
The Black Influencers Conference, I think, was a really great conference. If you have never been, make sure you check it out next year. If it comes back next year, I assume it is. But I think it was great exposure and learning from other influencers. So if you guys are influencers in Atlanta, hopefully it's in Atlanta next year, make sure you check it out.
Yes.
I'm not the social butterfly, so I did not, like, meet you there. Ryan probably met you because he like he talks and meets people, and you know,
he's got a gift of, well, what they call it, the gift of gab. He gonna talk to you now. That's good though.
So I actually had a vending table there at BCI too, and the love and support for Update was just phenomenal. It exceeded anything that I even expected that it would do there, and you know, we just started to realize that it started to spark a conversation, and before long there were group conversations in my section, and it was a phenomenal event. I was so honored to be selected to be one of the vendors that was there and to attend it every day, and I met so many amazing people, your husband being one of them as well, and it was a good time, and you know, and now I'm here.
Yay. So, wow, love it. All right. Well, y'all, let's dive on into your origin story. Okay. I feel like every amazing person has an origin story. So we want to talk about how things started before we talk about how it's going. Okay. So tell us a little bit about like where you're from, like where you grew up, and what your family was like growing up.
So I'm a native of Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Yes, I was born in Savannah, Georgia. I was raised primarily in North Carolina, but I've been back and forth between here and Atlanta my entire life. So my roots are here in Atlanta and in North Carolina. And, you know, I was raised by my grandmother, my grandparents.
Wow.
And just a Southern girl at heart.
Okay.
I came to Jesus at the age of 15, at 8 or 9. And, you know, at the age of 15, something happened when I heard the word destiny.
Amen.
And then when I heard the word destiny, I said, I got one of those. It just led me on a quest to find it. And I guess I've done a lot in a little bit of time with having exposure and being able to travel and being able to, I'm told doing things that most people my age in my 30s probably haven't done or didn't do until later in life. So I'm really grateful that the Lord chose me to just be a vessel.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful. And I'm here now.
Amen.
So at 15, how did God give you that word destiny? Was it through someone else or did he speak to you directly?
So that's a great question. So I have been a member of my home church, Destiny Christian Center and GSO. Shout out to Pastor Lee and Shanae Stokes. Since I was like 14, 15. And I remember one day he said that God has a destiny and a plan for your life.
Amen.
And of course, we all know Jeremiah 29:11. But for some reason, that word pierced me. And it reminded me of a time when I was a kid. And there was a trash pile a few houses down, and I don't know if they moved or if they were thrown out, but there was a little square book by Rick Warren called The Purpose Driven Life. And so I picked that book up as a kid, and I remember like it was yesterday, it had grapes on it, but I didn't understand as a kid what that meant. But I picked up the book and I took it home back to my grandmother's house and I read it. And so fast forward to a few years later as a teenager, I heard Pastor Stokes use the word destiny, and it resonated to a book that I read when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And so I just kind of connected the dots, I guess. And my prayer every day was, Lord, if I have a destiny, can you show me? And so since a kid, I've been praying for a purpose and destiny over my life. And I didn't understand the magnitude of the prayers that I was praying as a kid, but now as an adult, I get it. I'm like, Lord, I didn't even know what I was praying for over my life, but you did. So so that's kind of where the journey started with me and the Lord at the age of 15.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Very familiar with that book, by the way. And Pastor Rick Warren. Yes. Amazing ministry, amazing book. Has a similar testimony that relates to just the word destiny. I was a part of a ministry called Destiny and was really big on just, you know, being intentional and pursuing your God-given purpose, you know. So amazing that you've been praying that over your life since the early age.
Girl, I can tell y'all something that's so weird. So, and we used to have what was called corporate prayer. And in the morning, I think it was started around 6 to 6:30 a.m. And in high school, I had a car, And my junior and senior year, I would actually go to, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I would drive to church in the morning before school in high school, and I would go for prayer every morning, and we'll read the book of Proverbs. So if there are 21 Proverbs in the Bible, mm-hmm. so whatever day it is in the month, for example, if it was the 5th, mm-hmm. we read Proverbs chapter 5. Mm-hmm. So we would read a proverb every day, a whole chapter, and just get wisdom. And so I was that kid that would go to church in the morning before school, and I never told anybody because I was like, you know, they think I'm weird, but I was just so in love with the word destiny and purpose, mm-hmm. and I just wanted so bad to figure yeah. out why am I here? Mm-hmm. Because contrary to what the world and society have, you know, life can sometimes make me feel like you're a mistake. Mm-hmm. And so finding out that God has something specifically for me, it just pierced my heart and my spirit at an early age. And I really fell in love with the idea of knowing that I'm here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the foundation of, you know, why I'm here today.
How old were you reading Psalms every day? Or Proverbs every day?
I was in high school. Oh, Lord. I was probably between the ages of 16 and 17. I was taught the book of Proverbs, mm-hmm. and so we would read it every day. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact having that foundation is what carried me through some of the heaviest and some of the darkest times in my life that happened early. Mm-hmm. And I know it's only a result of surrendering early and mm-hmm. having perfect, but I serve a perfect God mm-hmm. that's held my hand every step of the way. So, yeah, getting that wisdom and Proverbs mm-hmm. definitely played a role in everything that has happened and transformed my life, from career to mm-hmm. some accomplishments and just everything. I know it's only by the goodness of God, because child, mm-hmm. not where I'm from, it didn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. So I know it's only the Lord, honestly.
That's awesome. So you have a background in the entertainment world and radio and music and all these different things. How did you discover that passion, since it seems like you were so focused on God at an early age, which is really great? And how did that merge with your passion for entertainment?
So this is so crazy. When I was 14 years old, mm-hmm. I begged my grandmother to take me to a concert. So it was called, I think in Atlanta they call it like Summer Jam.
Okay, okay.
They mm-hmm. had one, and they had a block party that was mm-hmm. free. And of course, like grandma, she didn't buy me tickets to go to the show, but they had a block party mm-hmm. and it was free. And there was a vending table that had a bunch of CDs and records and things like that there. And the guy that was working the table, he bent down to pick up something to sell somebody, and his shoulder hit the table and tilted the whole table over, and all wow. the CDs and records flew everywhere.
Oh wow!
And I saw that, and I was like, "Oh my God, let me go help them."
Aww.
So I went to go help them pick up the CDs mm-hmm. and you know the just all the things mm-hmm. that went over. And he gave me a free pass to go to the concert.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Access pass. And I didn't even know what all access pass was, child, but whatever. So I got one at 14. Now, I do not recommend anybody let a child go to a concert at 14. My grandmother trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So he gave me all access pass, and I went to the concert, but I spent more time backstage.
Oh, wow.
Roaming mm-hmm. the backstage streets, and just kind of seemed like, well, how does this operate?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I bumped into the promoter. I think it was like John P. Williams, something like that. And he said, "Hey, you." He said, "Who do you belong here with?" And I said, "Oh, I said the name of mm-hmm. the record company, mm-hmm. the record store that gave me the pass." Mm-hmm. And I was thinking. And then he told me, he said, "I see something over your life." And
my
I was
Lord.
Like, I didn't know that, I was scared. And so he actually prophesied that to me when I was 14 years old. And I'm just remembering this as I'm talking to you. Mr. Williams told me, he said, "You have a future in this business." He said, "But you're also going to be a light."
Lord.
He said, I know I'm doing this secular concert. He said, I'm in God. And he says, go get you something to eat. Help yourself to anything that you want back here. Just make sure you get home safe.
My
your parents. I said, well, I'm here by myself. He said, you need to call your grandmother to make sure you never ride to get home. So he let me use his phone, and I was able to call my grandmother to get home.
Wow.
The show even ended because I really didn't care about what was the problem. I just wanted to see what was going on. And so I think that's kind of where the music bug really bit in the beginning.
That's so amazing.
So it's been things like that that has happened over a period of time. Even for my first internship working at the radio station, I was, sidebar. So that guy that gave me the pass that worked at the record store, I went to the record store one day to go buy a CD, and he was there. And I didn't know that he was the owner of the store. Mm. And it just so happened that day he was the owner, and he offered me a job.
Wow.
So my first job was working at a record store.
Love
and
it.
Then I went to the meet and greets for record companies when they would come in, and every Tuesday was new music release day. And so I would set up the store whenever we would have the signings for the artists, and I would get the business cards for the A&R, so they would give their cards and stuff, and I was a teenager in high school. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of started from there, and I just kind of kept it, and one day I was offered an internship at the radio station, and I was like, okay. And I was a freshman in college, and it just kind of went from there. But it all started from me seeing a problem. And
yeah. That's what I was about to say. That's like serving.
Yeah.
You felt the need to serve. And like you said, solve a problem. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all.
Hey, Jerome Robinson.
Oh! I love it. So will you kind of segue into what I was going to ask as far as how you got involved in the music industry or the entertainment industry. So can you share a little bit about, like, I know you talked about working in a record store and then moving to work with a radio station. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like, helping with tours and, you know, different artists, things of that nature. So did you go to school for that? Okay.
No, I didn't. I did not. I actually thought I was going to be a social worker. I was going to be a social worker. And then, you know, then studying communication as well. So, but I realized that that knack for social work and wanting to help people, this was a natural thing, just to be a servant. But I didn't really know how to pinpoint that. Mind you, I was still the little girl that was praying for that. And then to now, so, and I want to say this too for anyone who's listening, that sometimes you may think that your destiny will look like this, and you may not be able to give language or give name to whatever that niche or that thing is, but the more that you serve, you'll find your way.
So
and,
good.
That's kind of what happened. So it's hard to say that, to pinpoint to say that a person is one thing when they're gifted in so many different areas. So most people are, you know, you can put a comma behind a lot of titles. So
yeah,
I thought initially that I was going to work as a social worker or just work in radio under communication. And, you know, God had other plans. And just kind of went on from there and still continue to grow. Like, she didn't think that I was going to ever write a book. Never.
So now you can add authors to
your titles. Absolutely. But that's amazing. If you don't know what you're called to do, serve.
Yeah.
Serve where you are, where the opportunities are, and allow that to open doors for you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's good. Really good. You have anything else for the origin story, Toya?
I think we've already started getting into the becoming.
Yes.
With Lucia. So you walked us through your journey into coming into the entertainment and music industry. So could you tell us a little bit about maybe what challenges you encountered through this journey, maybe as a Black woman or as a Christian, like what challenges
how'd you overcome them? you afraid of incriminating some people? No. Is that what we afraid of?
No, I won't do that.
She's like, I'm a professional.
Some of the challenges, and I want to make sure I understand the question so I can just say can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. Just what challenges did you encounter as a Black woman or a Christian woman in the entertainment world, and how did you overcome those challenges?
I wouldn't even use the word challenge. I would say that there's pressure.
Okay.
And expectation.
Okay.
And, when you see others assimilate and adjust their normal lifestyle mm-hmm. for the benefits of what they believe is a better life, sometimes you think like, well, why hasn't this happened yet? Challenges, I mean, we can go professionally, we can talk about contracts, we mm-hmm. can talk about dealing with talent, we can talk about betrayal, we can talk about, you know, being propositioned to do things mm-hmm. in exchange for other things. And, you know, the whole idea is just standing your ground. And how you start out is how you will have to hold out. So if you start out, I don't even know if I can say this way, but if you start out compromising, don't mm-hmm. expect anyone to respect you when you try to hold a boundary. Mm-hmm. So by the grace of God, I've been really, really, really blessed to have excellent mentors in my life. And, you know, even men that are now like brothers to me mm-hmm. that really took me under my wing. And, you know, there's even been times where they would say, not this one, not this one. Mm-hmm. And I know it's only by the grace of God. Has the opportunity been there for me to assimilate mm-hmm. and to be like others? Yes. Mm-hmm. Would things have happened faster? Probably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just really believe that God has destiny and purpose. And if I have to do something that's outside of something that I wouldn't be proud of later, I know that's not of God. Mm-hmm. And whatever the benefit, if you want to call that, mm-hmm. that I would have received, I still wouldn't have been happy with that.
Yeah.
Because look how you had to get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's always opportunity in any business, in any profession, to compromise, to cheat, steal, mm-hmm. lie. You know, it's really up to you, your character, your morals, mm-hmm. and your foundation. What do you stand for?
Yeah.
So you just have to remember who you are and whose you are in order to, you know, to maintain. And sometimes you're going to have to walk away from some things. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like, ouch, I really needed that. Or ouch, mm-hmm. that would have been really good for my client. Or, you know, you're going to just have to figure out, you know, what matters most. But obedience is better than sacrifice. And
wow,
that's just what it is.
Now, you talk about walking a very hard line, quite honestly. I guess my question is, did you know or believe, or do you believe that you were called to impact the secular industry specifically? Or, quite honestly, you encounter this kind of stuff in the gospel industry too.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So, okay. It's like, it's either or.
Well, all right. I mean, honestly, I remember telling my pastor that I wanted to go to school to study theology. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, him saying like, well, you know that it's not the sick that needs a doctor. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not the willing that needs a doctor.
Come on.
And so I remember when I got off of the internship at the radio station, which was a secular radio mm-hmm. station, and I didn't want to do it at first. Mm-hmm. And he always reminded me that your light is needed in dark areas.
Wow.
Light and light, like this area gets mm-hmm. it. And so I just remember feeling the different spirits of heaviness. Like I could mm-hmm. just feel when something was at a place or wasn't yeah. in alignment. Yeah. And I remember even having to go to nightclubs a lot mm-hmm. sometimes, being an assistant mm-hmm. or and them offering me drinks mm-hmm. way before I was even 21. And
wow.
just saying like, nah. And yeah, like you just have to not look at people for what they're doing. You have to look at the spirit that's behind them. Mm-hmm. You have to look at the why. Let's do root knowledge. Why are they here? Why are mm-hmm. they doing this? What's hurting them? Like, these are hurting wow. people that are just looking for a solution mm-hmm. and that you have, because you have the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. So if they have what you have, then they wouldn't be here.
Mm.
So it's not your job to judge them.
That's amazing. Did you find yourself witnessing the people on your job?
Child girl, honestly, the best witness is your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, people will start asking you questions about, you know, even if they're just venting to you, mm-hmm. even if they're just finding you as a safe space to have certain conversations. Mm-hmm. So I never walk around with a big Bible, mm-hmm. you know, balancing it on my forehead to say I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I believe the best ministry that you do is your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And your life will speak for itself.
Yeah.
And I've always been the book that was judged by its cover. You know what I mean? I don't know what the typical Christian looks like, but I've been told that, oh, you look like you could be this way, but you're really that way. But it opens the doors for conversation. People can misjudge you because of your aesthetics, because how your hair looks, you wear lipstick, or you. People have their own idea of what a believer looks like, right? And it's cool, fine. Think what you want to think, as long as I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I know whose I am. I don't care.
My Lord.
I don't care. So yes, I have an opportunity to witness, but it's really your lifestyle.
Amen.
Your lifestyle is the biggest witness.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely. On the flip end of that, I was going to ask, like, what community or support do you have around you, like, going in and out of these environments to help you to maintain the standard that you've upheld over these years?
So I am not gonna lie, I'm a little bit of an ambivert. Mm-hmm. When I'm home, I want to be home. I love being at home. Mm-hmm. I'm very simple. Mm-hmm. Give me a book, mm-hmm. a cup of coffee, child, I'm happy.
You good?
It don't take much. But I do have a very close circle that knows me, and you know, my brother slash mentor Joe Kelly. He definitely. He is my reality check. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll stop me when I'm overgiving, if I'm over-explaining mm-hmm. myself, or if I'm, like, he's been a very sound voice mm-hmm. that has, you know, reminded me of, listen, if God be for you.
Amen.
And so even though I'm stepping more in the creator space myself, as an author and just doing different things now and not really, you know, so much on the music side, so much in the last past year and a half, having that community in that circle encourages me to continue to just go. And as long as I have the Lord before me, I can go.
Amen. So,
yeah.
I know I say that a lot, like in my career and like every day, like, if God be for me, he can be against me, and just go forward with whatever God tells you to do. You know, as long as you're being obedient and in the will of God, he's got your back all the time. So I have to remind myself that. So you kind of talked a little bit about, you segued into your book. So I want to know a little bit more about Update and what led you to write this book.
So it's ironic because this book is actually pieces of my diary, along with me being teased. So my brothers who are in the industry, we were on a conference call and my nickname is Unicorn.
Okay.
They were having a conversation and talking about potential script or something that, you know, some future stuff that we were working on. And I spoke up on behalf of women. I'm like, you can't say that. We're not a model. We're not all the same. Uh-huh. And they said, we're going to give a disclaimer, Unicorn. When you say that, you're talking about you. If there are any more that are like you, they're very far from you.
Oh, my Lord.
Then it opened the door for another conversation. I was like, wait a second. Well, there has to be. And then so we started talking about our ideas of marriage, being single, and what does it look like being prepared? And they said, well, you know what? Maybe if you wrote a book about it, maybe you can create more unicorns. And then, you know, the conversation changed.
Wow.
So it started off completely getting teased because of my perspective on just different things and marriage and relationships. Because they're both married. Uh-huh. And yeah,
brothers are so fun.
They're annoying. I thought brothers are so annoying.
Okay, let's talk about this unicorn.
How would, I would say either how would you or how would they define a unicorn?
I wish they were here to actually tell you. They would say it. Storm and Joe, oh my goodness. So from what I gathered, what I gathered is that unicorns are things that are far and few nobody really still believes exist, but they exist only for certain people. And I believe they were implying that your qualities, your morals, and the way that you serve, that the average modern woman, they're not like you. And that's what I think I gathered. Child, you're going to have to ask them.
When you said they are only for certain people, what do you mean?
You don't have to ask
them. She's like, look.
I don't know, because I disagree. I said, I don't know when y'all were looking back before y'all said I do, but you know, you kind of draw to you who you are. So,
well,
you know,
that's a whole other. That's true.
So, yeah, that's a question for them people, because, honey.
Do you have other people around you that are like you, that have similar standards?
I wouldn't even say that it's my standard. I think it's my stance on clarity of covenant before you say I do. Because I actually turned down a ring. I was actually my hair, but I do believe that there are a group of single women, that know what they want based off who they are and who they are. And I do believe that there is men and women out here that understand the real essence of what marriage and covenant is. And that's why they're taking their time.
So when you say clarity, because I feel like y'all, we kind of break this all the way down. No, seriously, because you are, I love what you're saying. I think for so many people, they may not know how to apply it to their lives. So when you say clarity of covenant, tell me what you mean.
So on the surface level, most would say that, okay, we understand your role in a marriage. I'm not talking about that at all.
Amen.
I'm talking about the whole essence of what marriage derives from. Before you say I do to a partner, did you say I do to Christ? Do you understand the covenant that we have with him? Do you understand the selflessness, the sacrifice? The way that he served and the covenant that we have with him? So I dare not say I do to somebody who didn't say I do to Jesus. And I understand like a lot of people are, and I hate to say this because I'm single, I just feel like that marriage is the ceremony that a lot of people want, but the work is after that. It's the time, it's the commitment, it's a sacrifice. And I'm only saying this because I almost made the decision to do that. To say I do to somebody, it's like, this don't feel right. And I think that it's okay to be single.
It is.
It's a luxury.
It's a gift. Yeah.
But once you understand the weight of a covenant and a marriage and a sacrifice that you are supposed to be bound to, because your commitment, you will look at being single as a luxury, and you would not rush to be taken out of the market. Like, it wouldn't have to be special somebody to move me out of my
life.
I enjoy being single. You got
to
really that person
that's
just
like,
no, no more.
I frequently sit back and remember what life was like in my single years.
Frequently.
I mean, like, you know, when you said,
your kids is.
Cleaning, cooking, take care of household. You just sometimes be like, I remember what it was like when it was just me. You know, when my house was like perfectly clean and I could just come and go. I can travel. I can go to the grocery store. Hey, I want to check out a movie today. Like,
why was that?
I wasn't like necessarily rushing, but kind of, not rushing, but like kind of getting into like, okay, God, when is it my time?
But
I should have just really enjoyed it more.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's because the church, they marriage is, let me just say this for the record. I am not anti-marriage. I am not. I am somebody.
Amen.
I am just proclaiming a covenant. Mm-hmm. I am not anti-marriage. I am for marriage. Mm-hmm. I love marriage.
And
I love
marriage. Amen.
But I think that we focus so much on walking down the aisle. Mm-hmm. And we focus on walking the person.
Amen.
And it's like, you know, when you are on that path, mm-hmm, of purpose, other things are not as desirable because you understand the weight of that commitment.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm going to sacrifice this for that because love is a purpose. Love is sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what they're ready to do. That for somebody, don't go mess with my son.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
To that young man. No.
My Lord. Y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you
know I got to ask.
You didn't get a ring twice. Well, I didn't get a ring twice.
Okay, you done turned down the ring, what I'm saying.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit? We're not asking anybody under the bus, but can you talk a little bit about why you made the decision not to be married at that time?
Because of everything I just told you.
Well,
yeah, I was younger, like, so we were young, mm-hmm, and sometimes, you know, when you're in love, you're first love, and you say to yourself, mm-hmm, and you kind of go out and begin to different reasons. And it was just the Holy Spirit. I remember going in basketball at church, mm-hmm, and I said, well, please take me out of this relationship with the Lord, please, so that I have to go back to it.
Wow.
And that he did. And it's not that he was a bad person. He, mm-hmm, honestly, a lot of people said I was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They said I was foolish because of who he was. Mm-hmm. And they said, great, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do this? So good.
Did you just know he wasn't supposed to marry?
I did.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted him to be,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm. And sometimes we want people to be, and when God says no,
it's a no.
I don't care what anybody else got to say about it. Like, you can be perfect on paper, exactly, but if you are not
purpose
and in the will of God, it's a no.
That's real. And now, in hindsight, here we are years later, I look back, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that discernment. Because,
that's why you didn't let me. Mm. So, where are you now? Like, I know you said you know you're someone's wife. Are you, and of course, we know you're walking in purpose. Are you dating? Are you just like, I'm going on the Lord? Are you, do you feel like you're closer to
I'm open to dating. I'm definitely not closed off. I'm not, sitting at home reading those books. I'm open to dating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not open to wasting my time.
Amen.
If someone asked me, they said, what kind of man do you like?
Mm-hmm. And I said, well,
that's just what it
is. Well, all right.
Yeah.
So if he comes correct, basically.
As long as, you know, we're aligned, mm-hmm, and it's like, you know, a lot of people look at marriage that gets reward.
But
following that journey with your partner, I think it's beautiful. and knowing that I may have to put some things on the shelf that I love with him, but when it's a person, I would do it effortlessly. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I don't think God would see somebody that would force me to do something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody who tried to force you to do this. I don't.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you and say that whoever he is going to encourage you to not only walk in your purpose, but is there to help support and help you fulfill your purpose. You know what I mean?
Like that partnership is real.
So he's going to be tailor-made to like feel that gap or that void, not in you as a person, we all, but that gap or that void that you may need to help get you to that next level as it relates to fulfilling your purpose. So don't feel
like, and you know, of course, we go through seasons, especially like some of having children, things may be put on the shelf, or maybe you have to slow down, but at the end of the day, your partner who your purpose to marry is meant to propel you into your purpose. Mm-hmm. And not press pause and be like, well, you need to do this instead.
What? I mean,
some grits are fulfilled purpose, though.
But they could cook with grits, too. I mean, but it's a both thing. It's not just going to be you. Y'all going to be serving with each other.
I just want to
encourage you. Stay on the path that you're on as far as walking and pursuing your God-given purpose. And literally, I think Shantini has used this reference before, where he's like, you know, a goal is that you're chasing after God and pursuing your purpose, and then you kind of look up and somebody's like right next to you, like, oh, you fulfilling and running after God too. Let's do this together. So, you know what I mean? It's meant to be a beautiful surprise, in the words of India, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful, you know. So I just don't want you to feel like, well, he got to be all this to take me out of my. He's not going to take out your purpose. He's going to enhance it, propel you into it. So,
amen.
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 So, okay, we're going to have to tell you a little sugar. Tell us what are top three reasons somebody needs to buy this book?
Oh my goodness. So not only does it help bring clarity on what covenant is, it helps you identify that that's something that you truly want.
Amen.
And it, you know, the culture and society talks about dating with intention so much, but we never talk about being intentionally single.
Well,
and I think that's something that we do, but that's where I was for a long time, intentionally single. I was thinking that I had to be that. I was like, well, in this season, I need this for me. Another thing would simply be doing the work on the inside out, unpacking the mommy and daddy, and learning to love from an overflow, not deficit.
Amen.
So that's the main thing that updated with us.
That's so good, y'all. Hang on to that right there, because marriage is only gonna magnify whatever issue you got right now. They're not gonna fix it. Not gonna solve it. It's gonna just magnify it. So get a head start.
What's going on now? The marriage, like. A lot of marriages, people have been getting the book, and I've been really surprised at their feedback. And, you know, I remember at one event, a man came up to me and he said, this is everything I wish I would have known before I got married. But it reminded me to take my husband. And I was like, oh Lord, what you
doing?
Come on.
Because we need help too in the married world and reminders.
Absolutely.
Because life, sometimes you forget those things of dating your spouse, and we need those reminders.
Yeah. And that work that you talk about is real, like, and it's consistent. It's not like, oh, we worked during premarital, oh, we worked during honeymoon phase, oh, we got on whatever patch was. You got to keep on working.
Marriage counseling.
Don't stop after you say I do.
You still need somebody to talk to in different seasons of your marriage.
Yeah, for
For sure.
That's when the work begins. I think we romanticize marriage in general because we, you know, we see everybody's highlight reel, or we see how people look together. We see the image of it all, or we're so focused on having the wedding that we don't focus on the marriage. And that's where the work really begins. So you preaching.
It's true.
And we're going in debt.
Spend the rest of your
honestly, some people divorce and still paying off debt.
That's crazy. Or debt from the ring.
Oh, and still paying it off. And ain't even paying no more.
Yeah. Ain't even paying no more. Because you were so focused on the ring, you were so focused on the wedding. So it's real. It's real. Yeah. But you write, you drop in jail. So
definitely a part of my life.
So we appreciate your obedience and just your willingness to, you know put your diary on Front Street and
then it's the feeling, you know,
teased or overlooked or what have you. Like God has literally been like shaping, forming for a time such as this. So
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we gave reasons why people need to buy a book. Now, if there's someone who aspires to write a book or is working on a book, are there any tips or words of wisdom we give them?
Oh, depending on what type of book it is. I believe my book, to get inspiration from the Lord. And depending on what it is that you want to write about, you know, just make sure that you do your diligence, you study it, you research, you pray, and you look for a way to communicate what it is that's on your heart to say, right? Like, don't try to emulate anybody else.
That's good.
You know, don't try to copy of somebody who already exists. God will give you your own unique way to say it. I remember when I came up with the title of the day. I was like, Lord, I don't know what this will be. And one day I was in my room and I was cleaning off the mantle and my bedroom, and then the word update hit my chest. I think I was praying in tongues. I was praying, and then the word update hit my spirit. And God fell on me, and I said, thank you, Lord. I was like, that's it. And it just kind of went on from there. So, you know, definitely hearing the voice of the Lord and doing your research and finding a unique way to tell your message, your story, or whatever it is that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Wow.
And where can people purchase a copy of
Update? Yes. So Update is available anywhere that you can purchase books. Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can order Apple Books. Mm-hmm. The Audible is also available on Amazon as well. So, if you guys want to get updated, or you know somebody need to get updated and where they think about marriage and relationships,
I love it. I love it. I love it. Anything else we want to talk about for becoming?
I think we covered it. Another
word of wisdom you want to buy before we get ready to close out?
You know, I just want to thank both of you guys for having me here. Like, I enjoyed this time. I'm about talking with my sisters.
Yay!
I want to thank you guys for just extending a platform.
Amen.
I just pray that the Lord continues to do what he's doing here, because he's doing something.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you
for being here. We really appreciate it. Look, we might take you up on another 2 years. Come on, Dr. Oh, Sugar, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got to ask, too, what's next? What's next for you?
You know, so we're just wrapping up a book tour. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing signings in different cities. And we're going to just continue to take the update message on your own. And prayerfully, somebody will meet an updated man. And an updated man will meet an updated woman.
Amen.
And an updated family. So,
amen. I love it.
So we're updating people one person at a time. And we're just praying that God continues to just move. Because I never expected any of this. I didn't. It started off as a joke with somebody watching me. And then I was like, okay. And so, whatever the Lord says, you know, he lead, I'm following.
Amen. So, well, hopefully, are y'all here speaking? Do you do speaking engagements? I'm like,
I will, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just let me know. I used to do it for other things, but mm-hmm. I can do it for the Lord. So yeah, just anytime, now a lot of small groups, single small groups, mm-hmm. even because there's a curriculum inside the book. Oh. So it's really mm-hmm. for you to answer mm-hmm. rhetorical questions. You can mm-hmm. write. So the book is almost like a journal as well.
Love it.
It's thin, but it's impactful. Mm-hmm. So I forgot to say that that's one thing that was really surprising. I didn't realize that a lot of churches would take to it mm-hmm. ministry, but it did. So
amen.
You never know, we may do a sizzle single something.
Okay.
It's summer season, we're not doing it. Hey. It's open season and singles week. We got to figure out how to navigate through this.
Come on. Where can people follow you or find you?
Oh, my name is Latia Ashley everywhere. LATIAASHLEY. And tap in.
Yay! Good stuff. All right. So we're going to transition into Noble character. Okay. So I don't know if you have someone that you would recommend, but we like to highlight women in the community that are making a difference, that are inspiring others around them, that are updated, okay? I mean, that are walking the walk, or walking the talk, all of those things, and really impacting the community around them. Is there anyone you'd like to shout out?
Definitely Trisha Williams.
Okay.
She's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. She's a model. She's just a dynamic, strong person. And she's providing not just employment for the community, but she's also providing mentorship to young girls mm-hmm. and her YouTube platform. And she's just encouraging, and she's so transparent about her mistakes and failures in business and relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's really inspiring. So Trisha Williams is definitely somebody that is just, she's on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
So I like her.
Well, Trisha Williams, you are a woman of noble character. Okay? Shout out. I love it.
Yes. And thank you guys so much for tuning in to Becoming Eva. Be sure to check out our website at Becoming Eva today to grab some merch to support Becoming Eva, water bottles, mugs. I've got the jacket on. I don't know if you see it.
It's the jacket.
And so don't forget to also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva today. And we'll see you guys next time.
We'll see y'all next time. Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out at becomingevatoday.com or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.